and we better understand this wonderful gift that God has given us to be involved in participating with His Spirit. It is becoming very clear to me that nothing I say here on Sunday mornings is going to make anybody sitting in here just go, oh, there it is. All I can hope to do is say something or direct you to something to where you will begin or continue or refresh or strengthen what God has already said. And as we look at that more clearly, things are going to change in our lives, in this church, and in the world around us. Jesus has done everything. I can't add to it. And I certainly can't take away from it. You and I are alive because of Jesus Christ. And when I say alive, I don't mean just, you know, this morning doing a pulse check. You and I are alive because of Jesus Christ. We will not taste death. We are alive because of His sacrifice. We are eternal. Most of the world around us, you look and they toil and they might get 70, 80, maybe 90 years. Of what? Of what? The Apostle Paul says, look, if it's just this flesh and this body that's going to carry us around for a few years, if this is all there is, what's the point? But praise be to God, we've been given a point. We've been given a purpose. And Jesus showed us what it looks like, and He goes back to His rightful place, and then He looks at us and He says, okay, I've shown you what it looks like. Now go live that life. Go live that life. And well, that just struck me this morning. Whether we were singing excitedly this morning or whether we're just going through the motions, this is just another day. That's on you and that's on me and how much of God's Spirit you and I say, all right, I'm going to let you run this. I'm going to let you run this. Because I've seen a lot of people's lives. I can see what people do with 70, 80, maybe 90 years. I've seen 50 years. I can't do much. But I've also seen how much He can do when He's in charge. Let's go to our Father in prayer. And let's just ask that our hearts are opened to what He is doing. Heavenly Father, we praise Your name. And Lord, I'm asking, I am begging You for us at Sunrise for a revival in our hearts. I'm praying that You open our eyes to You, to what You have done, to what You continually are doing, and what You have planned to do. Father, we are so tempted to just be conformed to this world, to just be like everybody else. And Father, because our eyes have been opened to Jesus, we expect more. Father, we confess to You our temptation. We look around. We say, well, it doesn't seem like more. It doesn't seem like much. Father, forgive us because our eyes are not on You. Forgive us because our eyes are on others. Father, You have blessed us with life. May we not waste it. You have made us eternal and shown us greater things. May we be devoted to the things that last. And as we work together, as we participate with Your Spirit and with each other, Father, I pray that You light a fire in our hearts. I pray that You light a fire in our hearts that cannot be put out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bible back to the book of Acts. As we see the early church participate with what God is doing and being filled with the Spirit, last week we saw in Acts chapter 5, we saw the participation as the apostles are preaching the good news of Jesus, as the church is growing and more people are coming to understand what Jesus has done for them and taking hold of the life that God gives. And then we saw people just say, hey, look, if I'm going to live for the eternal, then the things I have in this world, if they can help somebody, then let them help somebody. The resources that God has given me, if that can be a blessing to somebody else, then let it bless somebody else. And that's a different way to look at things than how we usually do of, okay, well, yeah, God gave me a gift or God gave me some intelligence or some skills, but I really worked hard and I really earned this and I like to hold on to it. And we see in the early church where they said, yeah, God blessed me with this. So let it be a blessing to others. And we continue in chapter 5, and I want to pick it up this morning in verse 12, as we see the reaction to people living in concert with the Spirit of God and what that does for people around them. Verse 12, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So these miracles and these healings are being performed. And people are being brought up, and the church is growing, and lives are being changed, and believers are being added to the church. And this is going to lead to a situation that we're going to see in the very next chapter, in chapter 6, that as the church grows, there is more need and opportunity for participation. I shared this Wednesday night, but I think it's worth sharing, and it fits in with what we're talking about. Sonny found this out, that one of the Churches of Christ here in Lubbock is closing their doors. And there is a group of lawyers who have made it their specialty to help Churches of Christ in America shut down. They average 9 a month. 9 a month are closing their doors. It should be shocking. It should be heartbreaking. But it should open us up to be thankful for what we have here at Sunrise, number one. And then to remind us this participation that God has made us a part of. This is on us too. That we are called to participate, to be involved. And that as God blesses us with new members, as God blesses us with a family here, with older people and middle-aged people and younger people, that God gives us opportunity to participate. He says, look, here it is. It's right in front of you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And the rest of chapter 5, and this isn't really the point of the lesson, but I'll show you what happens here. Again, the apostles are going out. They're talking about Jesus, and they get in trouble for it. They get in trouble for it. They get hurt for it. But you know what? They get out. God sees them through. God allows them to be released. And as they get out, they say, hey, you know what? God is so good. He saw fit that we could suffer for his name's sake. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm so close to God right now that the world is starting to look at me like it does to Jesus. And I get to experience what Jesus, my Lord and Savior, experiences. All right, that's a different way of looking at your persecution and your suffering, right? We usually just look up and go, woe is me, why is this happening? Well, church, it just might be that you're starting to look enough like Jesus that the enemy is taking notice. What a good place to be. What a good place to be. So in our troubles and in our problems and in our persecutions and in the world's anger and railing against us, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because the world recognizes Jesus in me. So that I get to experience what Jesus experienced. Not a bad place to be. Now, that brings us to Acts chapter 6. Take a look at verse 1. Now, in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, the church is growing. They are teaching people about Jesus. They are experiencing the power of what God has to offer. And people are taking notice and people are going, what is this? And they're saying, oh, this is life. This is what it looks like. This is people who love each other and care about each other and are helping each other and taking care of each other. And they seem to have this common purpose, and they are pointing and lifting my eyes to something just bigger and awesome. And so people are drawn to that. And as that happens, logistically, it brings problems. A complaint by the Hellenists arose among the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now, a Hellenist is just a Greek. This is a non-Jew. Okay? So the message of Jesus comes to the Jews first, and yet there are other people who are not Jews who are coming in. They are professing their faith in Christ, and they're added to the church. So God is bringing all his people together through his Son. And so some of these people that were once outsiders, they're coming in and they're going, as you guys are taking care of the meals and the feeding program, and some of our widows are being left out. Like, this isn't right. This isn't fair. Which, again, you and I do this. We come to church and we say, hey, you know, I'm not getting my part. I'm not getting my share. You know, something needs to be done about this. So that's the issue. That's what's going on. It's growing pains, really. And so in verse 2, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Now, I love this, and I don't know if you caught that, but in chapter 6, verse 1, the disciples were increasing in number. But now that they're taking care of the problems that are popping up from this, it's not increasing. What is it? It's multiplying. When God blesses you with something, if you're responsible with it, you're faithful with it, you're taking care of it, he multiplies it, right? And that is on us. That is on us. So this participation and this chapter, this next chapter in the book of Acts, shows us that participation means we show up, and we can't just show up and sit here and go, okay, well, you know, we want worship to happen, right? So that needs to be on certain people. And if someone has a need, that needs to be on some people. And, you know, we want to make sure that the singing's good. We want to make sure that the preaching's good. We want to make sure that everything is running smoothly, and that we have teachers for a Bible class, and, you know, and that we help out with camp, and that we have opportunities to fellowship and serve. And the things that we do together. And the apostles are looking at them and going, hey, listen. This can't just be us. This can't just be us. So they said, here's what we need to do. You need to set forth, we'll take 7, all right? Because we see a need. We see a need, it's not being taken care of. We care about it, it's important to us, but we can't do everything. And we don't want to get distracted from what our purpose is. And so we need you to give us some names. We need you to give us some names. Now, the 7 that are chosen, what are they chosen for? What's the ministry that they're going to be given? What are they doing? They're delivering food. They are Meals on Wheels. But what do the apostles say they're looking for those who are going to deliver food? A good driving record? Strong arms so they can, you know, carry a bunch of trays of food. What are they looking for? Strong in their faith, filled with the Spirit, to serve food. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. Now, what it should tell us is, number one, whatever service that we give and whatever part we play, that has to be Spirit-filled. All right? There are no, oh, well, you know, Michael has to stand up there a lot, so I hope he's filled with the Spirit, but, you know, I'm just sitting here, so I don't really need that much Spirit. Wrong. It's not going to work. If we need Spirit-filled people just to serve lunch, then I think we should all be Spirit-filled people. And that's what Acts is showing us. Jesus is risen from the dead. And he says, here's my Spirit, here's my life force, and my power, and my presence. And that's going to be in you so that you can do the things that God wants you to do. Church, no one can be like Jesus without the Spirit of Jesus. It's not possible. It's not possible. And so even this what we might look at and go, well, that's a small thing, right? That's a small bit of service in God's kingdom. I don't do much. What I do is not important. It's little. Wrong. It's all important. And so each and every one of us in hearing this story, number one, and we're going to get to this in a minute. Number one, all of us need to be Spirit-filled. All of us. It's not enough that some of us are Spirit-filled. It's not enough. All of us need to be Spirit-filled. And all of us need to recognize that we are here together for the glory of God and to push forward His agenda. Not my agenda, not your agenda, His purposes. What are His purposes? So that more people believe in the name of Jesus. I'm looking forward to the party. You're looking forward to the party. You know what makes a party better? More partiers. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Have you ever been to a professional sporting event? Anyone ever been to a professional sporting event? Pretty big place, right? Good size party. And when something exciting happens on the field, what happens? Yeah. I mean, you just get swept up in it, right? You ever been to a Major League Baseball game and you've seen a home run hit and everybody just rise up, right? Now, compare that to a Little League Baseball game. Three moms in the stands. And one of their kids happens to hit a dinger into the outfield grass, and because of 17 throws all across the field, that kid makes an in-the-park home run, right? Well, you get one mom who's just beside herself. And maybe a couple, and maybe some of the kids on the team, and you get a little taste of that. But then you go see that with 50 or 60,000, and just the roar and the eruption. We want more people come to the party. We want more people. God wants more people come to the party. So they say, choose those full of Spirit to serve. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. Mark read for us in Romans chapter 12. We took a look at this chapter on Wednesday night, but I wanted it to be read again, because this section in Romans chapter 12, it's basically the Apostle Paul says, look, this is how you live in relation to other people. And first he says, this is how you live in relation to God. This is how you live in relation with other believers. And this is how you live in relation to outsiders, to non-believers, because we treat different people differently. We love everybody, okay? We love everybody. But we do things for one another that we don't do just for everybody. And we are held responsible to kind of a different standard to the different people that we are interacting with. And the section that Mark read for us, this is all about the body. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 12, he says, look, we are the body of Christ, and we are many members. We are many members. Romans 12, verse 4. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Look, we are a body. We're different. We're different. I have a different purpose than you do. You have a different purpose than I do. Which is why so many times the Apostle Paul is trying to say, look, I know you don't look exactly like me. That's okay. You have a part in the body. And when he writes to the church in Corinth, he says, not everybody can be a hand. Not everybody can be a foot, right? But hands don't look at feet and say, oh, well, you're not a hand, so you're not important. No. Feet are important too. Every part of the body is important. There's no small work in God's kingdom. If our work is truly eternal, if it is going to last beyond however many years that this body carries us around, our work for God's kingdom is important. And so no one can tell you that your work and your contribution is not important. And you better not be listening to the enemy telling your heart that your work is not important. It's all important. And it works when we're all working together, when we all participate in what God is doing here. Romans 12:6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Tony, how'd you define grace for us this morning? God's favor. How God has shown favor in you, you take that and use that for others. How has God shown you favor? How has God blessed you? What has He provided for you? What gift and talent and resource has He said, hey, here, this is what I'm giving you to do something with? Whatever that is for the good of the body. And church, again, I know where we're at. What are we, 2025? 2025, middle-class American Christians. We don't see things this way. We don't. We're not good at this. We're not. Because, I mean, to be quite honest, if we weren't a part of the church, we'd miss it. But we'd live our life, wouldn't we? We got our job. We got our house. We got things that we need. We pretty much take care of ourselves, right? We're pretty self-sufficient. And so this is a completely different idea to us because, you know, we've got the family, whatever it looks like. We're working towards a common goal. We're meeting our needs. We're taking care of things. We're getting the job done. We hope to maybe get a vacation and we hope to retire someday and just live the good life. You know, we're caught in a very worldly pattern of how our lives and how success should look. This is different. This is a biblical pattern. This is God's way. And that's why we have to look at it. And that's why we got to be honest with ourselves and say, hey, should my life look different? Should it make a difference what God has done for me? Should that change me somehow? Do I need to be honest with myself and say, hey, are there some gifts that I'm not using for the good of others? Are there some gifts that God has blessed me with that I'm just withholding? Am I like that guy in the story that Jesus tells and says, hey, I gave different talents to different people, and the one guy comes back and says, hey, look what you gave me, Lord. Here it is. I kept it safe for you. I buried it so no one could find it, and it's been down underground all these years. And now you're back, and you said, hey, what? Where's my gift? And I dug it up for you. Oh, sorry, let me clean that off. There you go. It's a little dusty. How'd Jesus respond to that servant? Not too well, right? What does He do? Take it away. You don't know what to do with what I've given you? Fine, I'll let somebody else have it. Well, but He's already got a lot. Yeah, and He doubled His efforts. I gave Him the gift, and He went out and did work. And now He's doubled it. He obviously knows what to do and how to handle the gifts that I have given Him, so what am I going to do? I'm going to give Him more. Huh. God's economy is kind of different, isn't it? Not really, but. So Paul says here in Romans chapter 12, If your gift is prophecy, then in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If your gift is encouragement, then get to encouraging. If your gift is contributing, be generous. If your gift is leading, be on fire. If your gift is showing mercy to others, put a smile on your face. All right. That makes sense, right? It's starting to all fit together and go, okay, God has blessed me. God has provided for me. Because, again, our just American Christian mindset. Thank you, Lord. You've given us these gifts. You've blessed us with this food. We're going to enjoy it. Amen. And we go about our day. And the Bible says, no, see, God has given you something, and he wants you to use it for the good of others. He wants you to be together in this and actually use these things to be a blessing to others. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is another section where the Apostle Paul writes, different congregation. He's writing to the church in Corinth, and he's talking about these gifts that God provides us. And they were concerned about it in Corinth. So he says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. Okay? I want you to know what's going on. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Okay, so he says to the church, look, church, you have different gifts. Sorry. You have different gifts. You have different service. There are different activities that you're involved in. We do different things with what God has given us, but it is all for the same purpose. It's so very tempting that we look at other people and go, oh, well, you know, I can't do that, so I guess I can't do anything. Or, oh, this is all I can do. It's just not important. You know where that leads? It leads us to stop doing it. If we don't believe that our gifts are important or making a difference, what do? Well, no one appreciates it, so I guess I won't do that anymore. Or I try to do something good and, ooh, learn my lesson. I'm not going to do good anymore. Or I actually got opposition when I was trying to follow God and the example of Jesus, and somehow something evil got in my path, and I retreated, and I closed up, and I stopped. There's so many things in our way to do what is good and to do what is right. The enemy is active. The enemy's active. You know this. I know this. So our only question is, do we believe that our risen Lord and Savior is active? Do we believe that he has filled us with his life and his force and his energy? And are we going to be active? We know what the enemy's doing. What are we doing? What are we doing? Right? So Paul says, your gifts, your service, your activities, those are all going to the same purpose. In verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. You know how many times I've talked to people and said, Michael, I'm just asking God if he would just I really do want more of his Spirit, and if God would just show me a sign. Right? You ever ask God for a sign? You know who a sign is for? Unbelievers. Signs are for unbelievers. That's who signs are for. God, if you just show me this, then I'll know. God, if you just give me this sign, then I will. Uh-uh. What does Paul say here? No, the Spirit's for the common good. The common good. That's a totally different way of looking at things. No longer can we pray, Lord, provide this for me so that I... You get that language? Instead, it should be, Lord, pour it out because some good needs to be done. And I don't know if it's me that needs to do it. I don't know if it's you that needs to do it. I don't know if it's you that needs to do it. I don't know. But Lord, some good needs to be done. And so give us the gifts that we need so that that good can be done. Needs need to be met. And one of us, two of us, three. Look, this is a pretty small body. I mean, comparative. Sunrise Church of Christ, we're kind of a small body. But it can't just be three people, can't just be five people, can't even just be 20 people doing all the work. It has to be all of us working together. And we should all want to work together. What can I do? What can I do? What needs to be done? Let's take a look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. So I'm going to give you two just practical, this is what we need to be doing to be more faithful in this area and be more successful in this area. In Luke chapter 11, when we think about our participation and what we need to be doing. Luke chapter 11, let's go down to nine in Luke's gospel. These are the words of Jesus. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We need to be asking. We need to be asking for the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself says to do it. And He's going to answer. He's going to provide. Lord, we need Your Spirit. Lord, we need Your Spirit. Now, this is speculation on Michael's part. I'm just going to say this is probably a guess. But for us to see anything like the biblical example of growth and change and power as we read about in the church in the book of Acts, you and I are probably going to have to get a little bit more involved. That's fair, Scotty. Just right? Come on, Michael, we've been here. We're creeping up on 3 hours on Sunday morning. Same as we did last week. Surely if the Lord hadn't done it by those amazing efforts, I guess it's just not going to be done. That's not what the early church looked like. And again, and I'll be the first to tell you, because I'm in that camp, because I read the Bible and I don't ask why, I ask why not. Why not? I mean, the Bible tells us what we're supposed to look like. It tells us what Jesus looks like. It tells us what we're supposed to look like. And I always ask the question, well, then why don't we look like that? I think some of that's on us. I think some of that's just, yeah, the gospel's great. I'll fit it and I'll put it in my pocket and I'll just take it with me this week. And God will bless me and He'll get me through and I'll come back next Sunday and we'll sing some more songs and, you know, we'll listen to some words and we'll go on about our lives. That's not the church I read about in the Bible. That's not what it looks like. It's not what it sounds like. It's dangerous talk, I know. Because you and I are very comfortable in the part of our lives that we've allowed Jesus to say, oh, you can handle that. I'll get the rest. Jesus, you can take care of this. You just glide me into those pearly gates. I'll take care of the day-to-day operations and how Michael lives. It's a very tempting place to be. Jesus says, if you want more of the Spirit, you need to be asking for more of the Spirit. Now, let's take a look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. If you and I are going to actively participate, if our church is going to be the place that makes a difference, not only in our lives with each other, but in the lives of those around us. Number one, we're going to have the same spirit that Jesus provides and that he tells us to ask for. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, he says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Okay, look. I mean, Paul says, you are taking care of your family. You're doing what you need to do. But also, look around. Pay attention. Where does God's grace need to be met this week? Where does God's power need to be felt this week? Where does God's mercy and love need to be seen this week? So as I'm living my life, as I'm taking care of my needs and, you know, my responsibilities, I got to open my eyes. I got to look around. And church, that's going to start with us. It's going to start with each other. If we're not comfortable helping each other out, we're not going to help anybody else out, right? Because we kind of like each other. If we're not helping each other out, we're not going to help out people we don't like, right? Yeah. Yeah, so not only do we look to our own needs, but we also look to the needs of others. And then in verse 5, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You have been given the mind of Christ. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means, number one, I'm going to think like him. And number two, it's now possible, it's now possible for me to think like him. Because my mind just wants to be selfish, right? My mind just wants to focus on me. But I've been given the mind of Christ. How do I know the mind of Christ? Well, I've read his story once or twice. And it's pretty obvious Jesus, wherever he went, he was looking to see, how do I help? What do I need to say? What do I need to do? How do I lead? How do I provide? How do I serve? What do these people need? What do these people need? What do these people not need? We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, so we are no longer living for ourselves. We are living also for the interests of others. And this Jesus Christ, whose mind we have, he says in verse 6, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Although Jesus was in the form of God, he didn't come down here and live his life as though he was equal to God. He emptied his life. He emptied his life to make room for everybody else that needed to be served. Church, you and I need to empty our lives of us and make room for all of those that need to be served. And when we're all doing that together, guess what? A problem's going to arise. All right. We need to pray about this. We need to ask God for his spirit. He'll provide those who need to take care of this. And we're all working together if we hope to grow. Because I'll be honest, I don't want to be one of the nine a month that shuts the doors. I don't. I love Sunrise Church of Christ. I've only been here 26 years. It's been around longer than I have. But I love it here. I love you here. We got to work together for it. Because I'd like to see it grow. Right? It's not always easy. A lot of times we go, well, you know, Michael, we came to Sunrise because it's small. I know, and maybe 1,000 is just too big for you. That's all right. I believe that God brings us exactly where we need to be. But I also believe, and I hope that we all believe, that whatever God gives us in a form of a gift, it needs to be used for the good of others. And when we do that, God's going to give us, number one, what we need, and God's going to bless us with what we need. So what do we do with those blessings? Again, we're pouring out into one another and into others. That's what a healthy, growing church that is faithful to God looks like. That's what it looks like. Right? That's why we're studying it. We are participating. God has called us to be partners with Him, to participate actively. Actively. Nothing passive about being a Christian. Nothing. So, all right. Well, this morning, if you need anything, okay, that's what we're here for. And if I can't help you, I'll grab somebody, I promise. I've already prayed about it. So if you got an issue, we'll find someone that can help. If your issue is salvation and you showed up this morning and you're like, what does it all mean anyway? What it all means is that Jesus died for your sins and made you an eternal being. And if you can't get excited about that, well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Jesus took death off the table for me. He made me alive. And if I'm going to be here and I'm going to be alive, it's going to be somewhat of a party. I'm just preparing for the eternal one. I got some kind of an idea that one's going to be a party. Right? So if you need to respond, if you need anything this morning, if you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we invite you to come.